Taz and Jim, and we've got a story about a stupid criminal. What is going on with this thing?
Stupid computer, more like it.
There we go. You have the right to remain stupid!
Cops in Colorado arrested a burglar in an interesting way the other day. They got a call Thursday last week, 4 a.m. There was a burglary in progress. Now, this is interesting. They used a drone to... They dispatched a drone to the scene of the burglary.
Oh, the police. Okay.
They saw the suspect, and they followed him as he ran from the scene and all the way home. So they
the drone followed. This is Black Mirror.
The drone followed the suspect from the scene to his house. Cops showed up at his house, and when they went to apprehend the suspect, they found him having a crunch on the toilet. Body cam audio.
Michael, please, show me your hands. Hands up. Hands up. Stand up.
I barely made it.
Stand up. Walk this way.
What's that?
Walk towards me. Keep your hands up. Stop there, mate. Stop there.
Stop right there.
Stop right there. Turn around. Bend over. Wipe. Okay, put these cuffs on.
No need for a cavity search. We see it all.
Was he using this as an excuse?
Yes.
Like, I wasn't running from the scene of a burglary. I just had to take a mad deuce.
This is the equivalent of when you're up too late at night and your parents, you hear them get out of bed and you quickly jump under the sheets and pretend you're sleeping. Oh, I wasn't doing anything.
No, I was.
How could I be burglaring if I'm on the toilet?
Hey, I can't poop and burgle at the same time. Well, he's facing second-degree burglary charges, which is kind of funny because... Second degree, that's like number two burglary charges. You want to hear something super awkward?
Yes.
Nick Swardson, familiar with his work. He's a comedian.
Mm-hmm.
One of Adam Sandler's buddies.
Yeah, I like him. Grandma's boy. Great in Grandma's Boy. He was on Reno 911 as like Terry, the guy on roller skates. He is funny.
He is. Apparently not this past week, though, in Colorado, because the audience, he was doing a stand-up show. And the audience totally turned on him. He was up on stage, many saying that he was incoherently drunk. And it's all caught, obviously, on film here. So this is Nick Swardson. He's up there on stage, and the crowd is not impressed.
What are you saying right now? I'll say this. Let me ask you this.
What?
Okay, I'll tell you a joke. So one of my favorite things, I don't have kids. Anybody here have kids? What the F? So one of my best friends was a guy named Norm MacDonald. Do you know who he is?
Reform!
What the F? Let's go! Who here knows who Norm MacDonald is?
Let's Yikes.
Go!
And turned off the spotlight. Now they turned off his mic.
Good evening, my name's Justin. I'm the director of operations. We've decided to conclude the show early in the best interest of those who bought tickets. We apologize for what you've seen tonight. Please email the box office. We'll be responding to inquiries and processing credits and refunds.
This guy.
We apologize. Thank you very much. I'll be in the lobby if you have questions or concerns.
Whew. That is crazy. You know what? Him mentioning Norm MacDonald reminds me, on the Norm MacDonald podcast, he talks about drinking a lot. Like, he's like, I'm a big drinker, and he talks about a couple stories where he got hammered in front of Norm. But he also says, I get hammered, and my audience also really gets hammered. And he told a story about how two audience members were puking on each other at one point. And like, they come to the show hammered all the time. And you can kind of tell, like, he is hammered. That's not great. But the audience is also... going a little nuts, too.
The entire audience has turned on him. There's no... He brings up Norm MacDonald, and that
to try to reel him back.
To try and just get everybody...
We all love Norm.
Because Norm is beloved. You can't not applaud when you hear the late Norm MacDonald, and he gets a little one, but it's not enough to bring the entire crowd back to his side there.
But yeah, he is a well-known drinker. It's kind of one of his things. And his shows do get, they're known to get, both him and the crowd get hammered in them.
But you can't keep that up forever, apparently.
Yeah, he's getting up there. I saw him tweet out, he goes, never mix, I was on a plane and I mixed an edible with booze. It's still like
that was his excuse.
So he said like the altitude plus the weed plus the booze, but there's a pattern here.
It is Colorado. Pretty high up there.
That's true. I was thinking altitude of the plane, but yeah, it is the Mile High City. Yeah, I don't know.
Have you ever had a crowd turn on you like that at one of your improv shows, Jim?
Oh, dude, many times.
Every time. Worst. We give out refunds every time we do an improv show.
If people paid to come to your show, the improv crowd is awesome. But if you're at a Christmas party or something like that and they don't necessarily want to be there, that's when it's like trying to herd cattle.
It is sad. Hopefully his pals reach out to him. Adam Sandler maybe says, dial it back a bit there, yeah, Nick Swardson. Yeah. So we're talking sports here. Did you see the official announcement come down yesterday? We all knew it was going to happen. Jason Kelce has announced his retirement from the Philadelphia Eagles and the NFL. And to say he was emotional during the press conference is the understatement of the century.
Not a good start. There you go.
You can do it, Jason.
Oh, man. This is going to be long.
It has gone by. It's been 45 seconds, and all I've heard is...
sniffling?
It sounds like he's like sipping a Coke through a straw or something.
You can do this. Come on.
Get yourself together.
It was 45 minutes long. He was up there really? For 45 minutes, and I'd say about 37 of that was him trying not to bawl.
Man.
/ actually crying.
Yeah.
Something about a big man crying, huh?
Getcha.
Maybe he's emotional because he's coming off like the bender of a lifetime. Right? He knew he was retiring. We've seen what he's been doing in Vegas.
Living it.
In Buffalo. Just dialing it up, and now you're faced with all the cameras and the fact that you're ending your career. He did actually talk. It wasn't all crying.
So this all brings us here to today, where I announce that I am retiring. Where I announce I am retiring from the NFL after 13 seasons with the Philadelphia Eagles. And today, I must admit, I am officially overrated. Vastly overrated. It took a lot of hard work and determination getting here.
His brother Travis was in the front row wiping away tears as well.
I love this Jason Kelce guy. Let it out. Like, this football has been a part of his life probably since he was 6 years old. Yeah. His whole family is right into it, obviously. I hope he realizes he doesn't have to never play football or coach football. Like, he's going to be part of the football world still. There's no way he can walk away.
Did anyone tell him he doesn't need to retire?
13 seasons is long. Well, you might not want her to.
Pretty upset about it.
Ride the pine. You know, get on a couple plays.
It's a good example for the young men out there. It's okay to get emotional about things you care
Absolutely.
About.
Absolutely. And he's probably happy. You know, it's a big, big moment of his life, a big change. Jason, and it would be hard to walk away.
He walks away with 7 Pro Bowl selections, 6 first team All-Pro selections, and a Super Bowl title. So he doesn't have anything to cry about when it comes to his accomplishments. Music industry technician named Bob Hale. He passed away this week after battling cancer at age 83. You may not know his name, but you know his greatest invention, the Guitar Talk Box. He invented it for guitarist Joe Walsh to use on the song Rocky Mountain Way.
This was the OG, eh?
Rubber tube in the mouth, down to the pedal. Wow.
Would have been weird to be to hear that on the radio the first time back in the day. What is that sound?
So cool, huh?
It is cool.
Yeah, and then the Talk Box was used many times after that on some huge songs, including this one from Aerosmith.
Oh,
This is one of the greatest rock and roll openings in history.
Yeah, and the build-up.
Talk box kind of subtle there.
Yeah, yeah.
But the guy who probably became most famous for using the talk box was Frampton. Mm-hmm. Peter Frampton. Frampton Comes Alive, huge album. What was the other one? Do We Feel Like You Do?
Oh, yeah.
You remember that one?
I specifically remember my buddy having a burnt CD in high school, Darren, my buddy Darren Alex, and he's like, he makes the guitar talk, man. It's going to blow your mind. I got it here, actually.
Do We Feel Like You Do?
That is insane.
It's pretty cool. I can remember listening so closely to this to try and figure out what exactly he was saying.
Yeah.
There's one point. Doesn't he say something vulgar?
I think I heard something there.
Why want to want you?
I know what he's trying to say.
Why want you want you?
I can still understand these lyrics better than most mumble rappers these days.
It's a good way to get away with saying swear words on the radio.
Yeah, uncensored.
Wanna want you when I wanna want you.
The guitar said I wanna love you.
When wanna wing on your wings and wanna wing a wing. And I wanna wing when you're wing wing wing.
Wanna want 'em.
Did you just say you don't want to wear a condom?
I didn't. My guitar did. Oh, this guitar. It's like the ventriloquist. Oh, this guy in the salty mouth.
It's not me.
Oh, man.
Hey, take it easy, guitar.
Whoa, Fender, relax.
Time for a cold shower, guitar. You're getting a little too amorous.
Wine man.
Rest in peace, Bob Hale, the creator of the Talk Box. 1-833-829-6546. That's 1-833-TAZ-JIM. If you want to give us a call or shoot us a text, we do have people messaging us about our backyard problems. We'll start with you, Jim.
Yep.
Mentioned at the start of the show that you were burning some leaves and sticks a little too close to your pool yesterday.
Uh-huh.
And you burnt a couple holes in your pool cover.
I think that's what, I don't know, but there's holes in it with a black perimeter about the size, smaller
burning
than a dime.
Looking holes.
So unless it's some sort of insect, I'm pretty sure that's what happened.
Rob sent a message, says, morning guys, let Jim know that he could use flex tape on his pool cover. It's amazing stuff.
Is flex tape the meme of the guy who slaps it against the leaking jug of water?
Yes.
Is that so? What is it exactly? Do you know it? Do you know that?
Well, I just assumed it didn't work because I am very skeptical of anything in an infomercial.
Buddy, you never tried OxyClean?
Never. I've never used a ShamWow.
I have.
And does it live
Not
up to
bad.
The hype?
Not bad, actually, because you can just, unlike a tea towel, you can wring it out and it gets dry again. I kind of look like the ShamWow guy. I actually went for him as Halloween once.
Vince,
I had the microphone, I had the ShamWow, and I had the nut chopper or whatever the heck that thing was called. You're going to love my nuts.
Slap chop.
The slap chop, which doesn't work as well.
Yeah, I assume that didn't work either.
Slap chop sucks. Hard to clean.
Anything in an infomercial, I always just think is a scam, but apparently, according to Rob, flex tape really does the job. It works well.
Okay, so it's like a duct tape, but it's also water resistant, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like
okay.
a hardcore duct tape.
Yeah, yeah. So I think I put it on top and then also on the bottom, sandwich it, make that seal on that cover, right? From both sides?
Let me know if it works.
Okay.
Flex tape gets the Rob seal of approval.
Yeah.
Another message here. Hey, Taz, what was the end result in your backyard with your raccoon? If you're listening to the show yesterday, we had my 7-year-old son go out in the backyard and check the raccoon trap. And yes, we got one.
Big fat guy.
I don't know if it was a guy or a girl. I didn't lift it up to check.
A big fat individual.
I got home, threw a blanket over it, had some lunch. Thought about what I was going to do with this thing. Called my buddy Hudson, who coincidentally caught a raccoon at his house.
Organized raccoon fights?
So we have, starting Friday, we've inflated a kiddie pool. We're going to throw the raccoons in there. You bet on which raccoon comes out on top.
Oh, man. Winner keeps the space under the deck.
It's the RFC. The Raccoon Fighting Challenge. Jim, you had a question.
Yeah, does your wife send you Instagram posts and Facebook posts and Reddit posts all the time?
Every day.
Yeah, yeah.
She's always, usually, people telling you how to raise your kids. Those are the videos that I'm getting.
Yeah, yeah.
No context as to who these people are and why they know better than we do.
Yeah, but they're on the internet, so they must be great parents. They put their kids in their videos, but I always send my wife stuff. She sends me stuff, and she sends me like funny subreddit. Like if you're on Reddit, it's just like a giant forum for any topic, and any topic has its own forum for it. So there's one called Our Marriage, which means it's just they talk about marriage in it.
Yeah, so this is the same thing. She's sending you stuff about marriage. We're in the kid phase, so I'm getting the kid stuff.
Yeah,
and you're
yeah.
getting the relationship, yeah. newlywed stuff.
But it's not like things we can relate with. It's like, look at how messed up marriages can be, I think. So she sends me this and she goes, do you think this guy's cheating? This is crazy. So I read the story and at first I did think he was cheating, but now I don't. Here's the story. The title, Husband Takes Viagra to Work. I recently found out my husband was taking Viagra to work. When I asked him about it, he was taking it to pop one before he got home to me, so he was ready in time. I told him it actually made me feel uncomfortable for him taking it to work. He assured me it was for us. I am currently insecure. I battle with myself about my age, my weight, and my overall worth. So the other night I asked him, are you sure you even want to be with me? Do I still turn you on? He said, yes, but you just killed the mood. So I mentioned taking the Viagra to work again. It caused an argument. He basically said, I need to trust him, stop doubting his intentions. And he said he only takes it to work in case we flirt throughout the day, so he'll have it. He can slip it on the way home because it takes a bit for it to kick in. I said, okay, so what if I just start taking condoms to work just in case? So I'll have it when I get home. So he self-combusted, he grabbed the bottle, started dumping the Viagra down the toilet, all because I said I don't feel comfortable with him taking Viagra to work. It's an 18-minute drive from work. It takes at least an hour for him to come home, shower, eat, and have a drink. That's plenty of time for it to kick in. What do you think? So all the top five comments, like, definitely cheating, definitely cheating.
You don't think he's cheating. You think it's normal for him to be taking Viagra to work and to put up such a big stink about leaving the Viagra at home?
Well, I saw this comment. It says, I'm shocked how quickly everyone is telling you he's cheating. As someone who is attracted to my wife and is not cheating and uses Viagra, this is exactly what I do. I have some in my truck. I have some in my garage. I even have a few stashed in my wallet. It takes anywhere from 45 minutes to an hour for me, but thankfully it lasts the whole night. And on in the morning in some occasions, he says.
Hello!
So that does make sense. Like, if you want to pop it on the way home so you're ready, I'm sure if you have to take Viagra, you're probably self-conscious about it. And somebody constantly bringing it up. And then, like, if he can't get it up and she's like, are you even attracted to me? Like, it probably does mess with his head. And if it lasts that long and into the morning sometimes, wouldn't he be coming home straight up and you notice?
I don't know, Jim.
Why wouldn't you pop it on the way home, be ready?
I've never had to or recreationally used Viagra.
I think empathetically you should try.
Just
getting this guy's shoes?
You're 100%. Walk a mile in his shorts. If your husband was taking Viagra to work, would you have some questions for him? Let us know what you think. I don't know if I'm buying any of these excuses here. Jim and his wife, Sarah, were debating a story that they saw on Reddit where a woman was angry that her husband was bringing Viagra to work with him. Mm-hmm. He said it was because he wanted to be ready when he got home to make love to her.
Yeah, yeah.
But she wasn't buying it.
He says it's like in case they were flirting on the, you know, during the day for text or something like that. He wants to pop one on the way home, so he's raring to go.
Couple messages here on the Taz and Jim text line. Interesting topic. There's a chance he's lying, guys, as to why he uses it. Bodybuilding enthusiasts use Viagra to increase blood flow and vascular pump all over the body, supposedly enhancing recovery. If he's secretly using steroids, he could be using the Viagra for that reason and wants to keep it a secret.
That may be something that happens, but I tell you what, everybody listening who's using Viagra is now going to use that as an excuse when they get caught with a few pills.
What's the Viagra for?
No, I've been trying to work out lately. It's actually a vascular pump system I've got going
on. I'm on steroids. You can't bench press 35 pounds.
You're 140 pounds.
What are you talking about? So there's one possibility.
Well, how about this? My husband has it in the console of his truck. If I text him to come home for some afternoon delight, he's ready to go. I totally think this guy's telling the truth.
Okay, here's another one. No way he's cheating. As someone with a hubby who has ED, I totally understand him wanting to be ready to go. Imagine the wife in the mood and the hubby pops a pill and has to sit there and wait for it to take effect. Mood killer.
Honey, set the egg timer. 45 minutes.
Okay, the question, I guess, is how many times is this guy coming home from work with a boner and getting it on with his wife? Because if that's his excuse, he better be performing.
Well, what she needs to do is count the pills. Next time he's got his eyes off it, count the pills. And then a week later, you keep track of how many, or a month later, you keep track of how many times you made love.
It's like what your parents did with the liquor bottles. Put a little line on
exactly.
It to see if the bottle's going down.
He starts filling them up with Tic Tacs.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.